All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. This is the September 10th meeting of the. Hang on a second. This is the. Sorry. This is the September 10th meeting of the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations. I'm Brendan Sharkey, the chair, and with me, along with other members, is our vice chair, Lyle Ray. Just as a quick, I was just explaining, if you weren't online already, that I'm handling this the meeting remotely from my phone. So Lyle will be, since I don't have full access to everyone or visibility into everyone who may be interested in speaking, the protocols will be the same. You know, just identify yourself, but Lyle will be the one to kind of identify you if you have an interest in commenting or offering something to the meeting. Thank you, Lyle, for handling that for me. Last time we did this, I think I had a power outage and I had the same problem. As I recall, it didn't go very well. It wasn't the smoothest of meetings, so hopefully this will be a little bit easier. Let's see. So actually I do have an alternative, but I won't jump into that right now. So with that, be mindful of the fact that this is being recorded and this may be available on demand through CTN. So just keep that in mind as well as always. What I'd like to do is begin after our call to order, move on to item two on our agenda, which is approval of the draft minutes of August 6th. Do I hear a motion for that?
So moved. Second.
Move and seconded. Are there any comments or thoughts about the minutes as drafted by Bruce Widgeon? Hearing
Mr.
or
Chair, can I suggest movers identify themselves and future? I think it was, I got Martin there, and who else was that?
Steve Cassano moved.
Cassano moved and Martin Heff seconded. But if you could just identify yourself, it makes it easier for the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any other thoughts or comments on the minutes as drafted? If there are none, I'll call for a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any
Aye.
opposed or abstentions? Seeing none, there those meeting minutes are adopted. So moving on to item three of the ACIR regular reports. This is the part of the meeting when I usually defer to Bruce for updates on what we are thinking about doing or planning to do. I know that the first thing, just adding folks onto the into the meeting as we speak. I know that the session mandate report, which is due November 15th. Bruce, remind me again, what else does the body have to do on that particular report, the mandate report? We didn't, or as I recall, we didn't really have the same level of reporting that we would otherwise need under other circumstances. Is that right?
Well, basically, this is one of those reports that has been done for many years. Up through last month's meeting, the agenda had included some things that the group had discussed as far as possible changes to its mandate review process. But because of everything else the group is looking at doing in the coming months, I think, you know, at this point, the report will just be like always. I've been spending a lot of time going through the public acts that were passed in the regular and special session. I'm looking for sympathy because I'm in the middle of the 300-page cannabis bill and I'm about to proceed to the 600 or whatever page budget bill that followed it. This is the home stretch. And at the end of that, what I will provide you, hopefully in the coming weeks, is this session mandate report that looks strictly at what the legislature did, and it reports on a basically a public or special act by public or special act basis. And keep in the back of your minds, though, how what you think a mandates report should do. And then I will be following that up with the compendium supplement, which is a annual update to the compendium, which is on a statute by statute basis or a regulation by regulation basis, looking at mandates. So for that one, I'll also be looking at regulations that were adopted for the past year. And again, I don't think there's any expectation of making any radical change to these reports at this point, although any suggestions are welcome. But maybe once we get through the winter and the ACIR's other reporting obligations, you might want to have some discussion of what you think could improve the ACIR's mandates work. And just as a reminder, a couple things that have been discussed in the past are doing a deeper dive into a few mandates to see how initial expectations for their burden panned out when applied to 169 different towns. Did it work out as expected? Were burdens especially rough on certain municipalities or categories of municipalities? There's a number of other things that can be looked at. So you don't need to focus on that now. You have plenty of other things on your plate, but in the back of your mind, as you see what I put out there for you as draft reports, certainly any suggestions for improving them are welcome.
Yeah, thanks for that, Bruce. Going through the minutes, I was also, you know, noting that you're providing that update to us last month as well. And first of all, I think on behalf of the entire membership, thank you for your hard work on this. I know this is kind of a thankless task for you to undertake, particularly with the volume of some of the stuff that was done this past year. So thank you for that. And also thanks for the awareness and sensitivity to the fact that we've got a relatively full plate over between now and the end of the year, given some of the things we've taken on and some other things that we may still want to take on. So I guess I thank you for that thoughtfulness on that, but and also echo your request of our members that you know, we keep an eye out for potential changes in formatting or other things that might make these reports particularly more relevant for a lot of folks who would be reading them, particularly at the municipal level. So so thanks for that, Bruce. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts or comment. Okay, if not, we'll move on to the item four on our agenda, which is the study of remote meeting access, and that's required by Section 154 of Public Act 2102 from the special session. I would just report to the group obviously those who also participated in that meeting. We did have a meeting just before Labor Day, last Friday, which was meant to be somewhat of an organizational meeting among the key folks that ACIR has to consult with in producing this report. Again, for edification, the legislature in their special session and as part of the implementer did require new protocols, potential new protocols for local meetings, whether to be held both either in person or remotely or in hybrid form. And in addition to that, which was to go into effect next April of 22, ACIR has been required to study the issue from a lot of different aspects and consult with those other groups for input. So that organizational meeting, I think, was successful. We did bring a lot of folks, all the relevant folks who need to be consulted, as well as other folks who are equally relevant, but those who also have some thoughts on how to proceed on this question of how meetings should be handled. A couple of the outcomes of the meeting. One, it was suggested that our next meeting, which should be held before the, I would think before the end of September, should be done in around the schedules of and with featured speakers from the relevant chairs of Cognizance, who actually were involved in the drafting of this legislation, as well as members of the governor's staff, all of whom and many of the folks participating at the meeting were very actively participating during session on the adoption of the bill. I did see that one of the co-chairs of our Planning and Development Committee, Senator Cassano, is with us today. Our next meeting will feature as speakers those folks who helped to draft the legislation originally, so that we can get some insight from them as to what they're looking for in this study and what in particular were the was the emphasis that we should be pursuing. The other outcome of the meeting, I think, too, was that we might want to break down. I think John Elsesser had suggested that we, following that in this next meeting, we're going to certainly want to break down into a schedule of meetings between that point and the end of the year. And also potentially break down the subject matter of those meetings into certain channels. What I offered to do was to put together a work plan for the group for that next meeting to be held, so we can kind of review that and see if that makes sense, and then figure out how best to break down those responsibilities and aspects of the study. The other quick thing would just be that ideally, we'd like to have the study aspect and the public participation format, a portion of the study, completed before the end of the year, so that we have the month of January to finish a draft, get comments, and complete the draft or complete the report for submission to the legislature by our deadline on February 1st of 22. So all in all, I think it was successful. As an organizational meeting, we have a lot of work still ahead of us. I don't know if there's anybody else who had any other comments on the meeting that they felt need to be expressed. And again, recognizing I've got a limited visibility into those who are in attendance. I don't know if anyone's raised their hands. Doesn't look like it. Okay. So if not, and there's no other comment on that, stay tuned, because we will be scheduling that follow-up meeting to take place, as I say, around the schedules of the relevant committee chair, Senator Cassano, you included, and be looking for that so that we can then proceed from there. So if there are no other comments on that, our next item on the agenda is item 5, which is the Local Government of the Future Initiative, regarding the study that we're doing on home rule versus local control. We did have a meeting of the LGF subcommittee on, help me, Bruce, what was the meeting date of that? That was August 24th, but I don't have my calendar handy.
Might have been the 31st.
Oh, that's right. Yes, 31st. That's right. Great. And at that meeting, it was not as successful a meeting as I think we hoped. I know Steve Mednick was good enough to kick off the meeting with a printed version of his summary of the law surrounding home rule. And we spent some time going through that and asking questions of Steve. Our next discussion was going to be on the question of how home rule impacts local municipal financing. Unfortunately, we had a cross up with one of our speakers who was to be in attendance and offer some thoughts on that. We did have a member of the GFOA, the Government Finance Officers Association from Waterbury, also join us and offer a couple of insights. But it, frankly, it wasn't as substantive as I hoped it might be. As a result, I don't know if anyone had any other thoughts on that, but I think we probably need to move on to some of the other topic areas that we had identified. Particularly, I thought the next item might be on education, but I don't know if anyone else has any other thoughts on the meeting previously held or the meeting that we're planning to be calling for later this month. Is there any thoughts on that?
Jim O'Leary, I'd like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Yeah, Jim, go ahead.
So, as I mentioned at that meeting, I think it probably was because we really didn't get into the finance aspect of it very much, but I thought that the issues that were being mentioned, as I did state at the meeting, were kind of nibbling around the edges of what a local government of the future might look like. So I just ask the question as to whether we, you know, and I know it may be too much to grasp onto at this point, but it seems like when you're doing kind of a preview of what you think the local government of the future should look like, the issue, some of the main, the bigger issues of finance for municipalities should be looked at. For example, the impact of the property tax and the cost of education. At any rate, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I think your comments were well taken. And I think, I mean, I think we, I think this opens up a conversation that I think the group might want to have right now, which is that I think we launched onto this topic of home rule, in the spirit of trying to facilitate some of the discussion that has gone on over the course of the last year, regarding, the public's perception of what home rule really means. And in some, in many cases, a misperception of what it means, involving, an assumption that town, by some in some towns, mostly residents, who believe that they have complete control over how, their local government, can and should operate, and it's otherwise, which is otherwise independent of any other town or the state of Connecticut. It came up, I think, in the context, often it came up in the context of zoning. And a lot of the debate that's been going on about, the potential for doing major zoning reforms in the state. And, I think that's what was the original impetus for carrying on this study. And the limits, that I think people need to be aware of as they consider these topics and be able to, you know, present that to the legislature for its own debate and discussion over the course of next year's session, so that we can all speak from the same or work off the same playbook as to an understanding of what's doable and what isn't. We saw a lot of misinformation being passed about. Jim, your comment, I think, is that the topic we were bringing up at our last meeting was supposed to be about municipal finance and home rule. And is it your, and if I could paraphrase what I thought you were saying, that if we're thinking about the question, let me ask you the question, I guess. Do you think that this study in general is a good idea? Considering the question of home rule in general, and its limitations on municipalities. Is it a worthwhile topic? Are you suggesting that it's maybe not be, and maybe we should refocus our attention somewhere else? Or do you think that the topic of home rule should be more applied more in depth to financing options for me to get
your last surmise is what I'm thinking, you know, and it's only my thought, but it seems to me when we talk about a local government of the future, we've started with the idea that we need to understand how home rule affects what we do now and how it might affect what we do in the future. So as when we got into the finance part, first of all, so I think it's important that we understand home rule and how that works, and that others understand that, everybody involved understands, you know, that's ideally speaking. But once we understand that concept of home rule, when we get into some of the aspects of what perhaps municipalities would like to see in the future, then on the finance side, it seems to me that it's relevant to get into things like how municipalities raise their funds, how they pay for education, is the present way that we do this what we want to be doing in the future? That's, I guess, my point. And perhaps that's just too long a bridge to have to try to build, but at any rate, that's my thought.
Thanks for that. I think the intent here was to understand what are those limitations and what are the boundaries within which municipalities must operate as a result of our system of government. I hear you saying, appropriately so, that perhaps we also need to get into the question of within those parameters, assuming we're not going to change those parameters, what impact is that having on a municipality's ability to affect property taxes? Is that a fair summary?
Yes, I think we should start with that. What impact is that having? Because for the future, that's, in my view, the crux of a major issue for municipalities and for the state, for that matter. You know, reliance on the property tax is difficult, I think, for the state in general to prosper. So as we, I guess my notion is that when we're talking about a local government of the future, we would eventually want to get to the point where, well, number one, we identify the problem, just as you've suggested. But number two, that we perhaps might have some suggestions. I'm not saying this needs to be done, within this year, but sometime as a part of this project, we would have some suggestions as to perhaps some alternatives.
Right. Okay. There are other folks, John, and I'm not always able to see everyone, but John Filczek, I think you had a hand raised.
Yeah, thank you. I see this study as, and what Jim is bringing up are two two items on sort of parallel tracks, but not necessarily together. We have this immediate need, which I think came out of the last legislative session, specifically around the zoning debate on what constitutes home rule, what is home rule, what constitutes local control, sort of to try to define and put that in its proper context in terms of what the law is and what it's not. We also have this initiative on the local government of the future, which we were starting to work on before that discussion of home rule came up, and that will hopefully continue, and elements of the home rule discussion will interplay with that. But I see the purpose of the home rule discussion and the focus in those three areas of finance, education, and land use as really something we will deliver, hopefully, to the legislature for the start of the next session as sort of a primer on what it actually is and what it's not. so that the discussion is hopefully not as misguided as I believe it was last time. And similar to the reaction you see with, you know, yesterday with President Biden, and you've got multiple governors talking about states' rights and revolt and all sorts of things. It's not dissimilar to what we were hearing on the floor in both chambers on home rule. Not quite accurate in most cases in terms of the law. So I do see this as this initiative or this work is rather narrow in the context of what the current law is. And the local government of the future is more broad, and it may well incorporate many of these things and challenge some of the current way things are legally. But that remains to be seen. So that's just my thoughts on this. And I also want to apologize for the mess up on the speaker. That goes to me, and hopefully we can get him back. But I did want to apologize for that.
Well, Mr. Chair, we have two other folks seeking recognition, John Elsesser and Francis Pickering.
Yeah, I was going to. Why don't I go?
Sorry, I was a little slow on the uptake there. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I actually do have a little thing here on my phone.
Oh.
It does identify folks now that I see it here. But John, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you. I'll keep it brief because I agree with John. I think that we ought to answer the task that we are charged to. And I think Steve Bendenick's et al.'s approach really, in a very readable fashion that people can understand, starts addressing that. I think to go one step beyond what John Pilchek said, we could put a teaser paragraph in there somewhere saying that the home rules that we have do impact the efficiency of government. And that as a separate report, ICAR is looking at the government of the future. Just simple things like charters requiring town meetings for interlocal agreements, the ability to share employees and union contracts, the arduous process, and hopefully there's a better collective bargaining arrangement to do that. So I think we answer the question that we're asked, and then we say we're going to do more work on how, now that we know what the rules are, how we need to look at some of the rules to make efficiency better.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, I agree. And I think I think the question of finance that Jim is raising is certainly, I think we could have gotten into that in this previous meeting. And maybe it's worth taking some time before we're done with our study to revisit it, just to be sure that we're, because I do think that there's, there is, Jim makes a good point that there is something to be gleaned, I think, from understanding the role of home rule in how it impacts property taxes and making that connection. So, and maybe that falls under John Elsesser's suggestion, which is, This is for a future study. We're identifying the limitations that home rule places on our municipalities on a number of these fronts. Therefore, we need to do a little bit deeper dive on each one of the, on several of these topics as we move forward. Francis Pickering, I think you were also on the list.
Yeah, Mr. After Francis, Senator Cassano also has.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Brendan. We'll try to be brief too. I found that Steve's work is very helpful, but I do think we need more of a problem statement. You know, I think a lot of us have some understanding of that things could be better, but we haven't explicitly said what the problem is and why we are looking at home rule right here. So Lyle always talks about the effectiveness and responsiveness of government. And I think it would be helpful if we led off with where we actually see a problem and how home rule plays into that. Because right now, I'm not sure that somebody on the outside would understand why we are talking about these things.
Yeah, that's a great point. So does that, do I hear that you volunteered to actually produce that teaser paragraph?
I am happy to work with a couple perhaps greater minds than my own on this. So anybody who wants to work with me, I'm available for that.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to raise their hand because I don't think anybody is of greater mind than you are, Francis. So therefore,
you flatter me. Okay, I will.
I'm kidding. Yeah, great. No, I think that's a great point. I think you're right. That the relevance of the study may need to be stated a little bit more clearly, right? Senator.
Yes, thank you, Brendan. How are you?
Great. Good to see you.
Brendan, just a thought here. Obviously, most of the, a lot of the legislation anyways that comes to ACAI comes through P&D. And one of the consistencies in planning development is that the Democrats tend to want to move forward and the Republicans tend to use the term home rule. It's a violation of home rule. And sometimes we know where they're coming from and sometimes we don't. It's not an R&D thing. It's a definition thing. And I think it's defined by small towns versus large towns, because if I look at the committee makeup, predominantly the urban areas and so on, clearly a Democratic, while the more rural areas are clearly more Republican. And so they're protecting more of the smaller towns. I'm wondering if we could meet maybe with some of the Republican leadership, both the House and the Senate, and try and get some feedback from them as to what they think home rule should be. Where they think we've gone too far, so that maybe we can get on the same boat together and move forward.
Senator, that's a great thought. And actually, I've been remiss in not reaching out to you and your co-chair a little bit more on the fact that we are doing this study, because it's with you guys in mind that we launched this for just that reason, that. Mm-hmm. We're recognizing that the perception of home rule and its strengths and weaknesses, its limitations, its opportunities are often misconstrued and misapplied. And so what we hope to do early in the 2022 session is to present to you, to the P&D committee in particular, the findings of this effort, so that you can have a common denominator, if you will, as to what we mean in Connecticut by home rule. What does our Constitution allow? What does it not allow? And how does that frame discussions around all the range of topics that you and other committees, yours and other committees, take on that year? And maybe as a thought, as we continue on with this study and have it ready for you before session begins next year, maybe that does, if you'd be, you and your co-chair would be kind enough to host or allow for an informational meeting on this topic, maybe that can be a foundation for having the members of leadership from both parties, offer comment, thought, and begin that dialogue that you're describing. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I'd like to do that. Doug Gabinski, as an example, is probably as much a lead on home rule issues in their interpretation, and he's a good person. He feels very, very strongly about the rural areas, the small towns. So what is he? How does he define it in someone? That would be interesting to have him in a sit-down. Mayor Vernon, Senator, is another one that's on the committee that thinks that in that same vein. We have a committee meeting. We don't get into those kinds of discussions, but a discussion through ACIR with them might help us at least try to define what this means.
Great.
So I'd be glad to try and set it up.
Yeah, that is precisely what we had hoped to achieve by taking this on. This is something we did sua sponte as a committee. As a commission, but recognizing that there was a need for this type of clarification at the very least. And I think John Filczek was the one who really brought this to the fore. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And as we continue on with our committee discussions in a subcommittee context, hopefully maybe, obviously, if folks want to participate along the way, they can, you and others can feel free to join us. But otherwise, once we finish our report, we'll have that for you. And then that could be the, a focal point for a further discussion, if that makes sense.
I'd be glad to. Another one would be Craig Miner would be another good asset. Tremendous number of small towns in his area, and he comes back with a home rule and so on. And I understand what they're trying to do. I got two small towns and I'm trying to protect them, but you know, what's the overall good, and how important is that? And that's where the state comes in. And so, you know, maybe we can have I'd like to see a discussion where we might be able to put away some of the issues and be on the same page.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're hoping to do. Right.
All right. I will be in touch with you and set something up.
Terrific. Thank you, Senator. Steve Mednick had his hand raised.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator. It's good to see you.
Hi, Steve.
It's always a pleasure. What I'd like to do is I'd like to see that we do this sooner than later, because I think it would help inform the definition we're trying to come up with, because I'd love to hear the dichotomy of views, because I'm not sure what they're based on, whether they're based on law or conception. And it would be very interesting to have that informal dialogue as we're trying to come to grips with a definition. So I think the sooner the better on that, so that we can move toward a formulation that we thought we were moving toward. But what the senator has portrayed is not news to me, but it's an interesting interesting issue that I think we need to address sooner than later.
Okay. Even before we finish our specific subject areas, Steve.
Yeah, I think so, because I think that wouldn't it be helpful to us to understand the people we're going to be preparing the report for? I think it would be very, very useful to have at least one of our meetings to be a dialogue on that dichotomy. I mean, I ran into this recently. I'm not going to name the town or the senator, where there was an issue regarding term limits. And
yes, I think we talked about that. Yeah,
we've talked about that issue, and the senator had a totally different conception on what home rule was. And he said, "I don't care whether or not it's consistent with law or authorized by law. If we decided it, it is what the people want." That is not the way it works. So having those people in a room to have that dialogue would be very helpful, because we might be able to address it in our report when we go before them at some point next year.
Sure. Right. Okay.
Quite some sense. Thanks.
Yeah. Senator, maybe you and I can talk offline about seeing how we might set something like that up before the next year's session. For Steve's suggestion.
Yep. Be glad to.
Okay. Great. Okay. Terrific. Are there any other thoughts on that?
I'll just say, I think it's an excellent suggestion. And I think the sooner we do something like that, I agree with Steve, that will really help mold the report that we do. Because, again, as when I first raised this, listening to the debate at the committee level, and especially in the House and the Senate, I would say, regardless of the side of the aisle, there's a misunderstanding of home rule from a legal standpoint, and local control is all over the place. So I think having and the people that the senator mentioned, Representative Dubitsky and Senator Miner, would be, and as well as others, that would be I think would be incredibly helpful, and I would not want to wait till January to do that. I think the sooner the better.
Senator, can I just ask you a quick follow-up? Thank you, John.
Sure.
Which is, do you, I mean, just knowing the legislative mindset, as I do, do you think you could, would it be possible, do you think, would there be enough interest on the part of folks of different mindsets of it on this to be willing to come to a meeting like this off session? Does it need to be maybe something in the, and this is again something we can talk about offline, but should it perhaps be something done by the Planning and Development Committee as opposed to an ACIR, you know, meeting of ourselves. I wonder if maybe it would have more heft if the committee itself, if the P&D committee actually convened an informational.
I think it needs to be combined. If I look at the minds, first of all, people run, you know what it's like being the speaker. They want to be on certain committees because they want to have an impact on things they believe in. And yeah, a lot of the very conservative minds are on P&D to try to protect that image of their towns. I'm thinking of Tammy Zawistowski, Champagne, Joe Zullo. Craig Mine is not on the committee, but Craig has represented a lot of small. You get a group together like that and just have a discussion as to what it means, how they define it, what they think the role of the state is. I mean, some are going to say the state shouldn't have any role, but they want the money from the state and direction from the state. So, how do we merge? And I'd be glad to call them all individually and try and set up a meeting and do it online. Dying for an in-person meeting, but actually we got rooms big enough that we can have an in-person meeting because you don't have to sit beside each other.
That may not be a good phrase, Senator, dying for an in-person meeting, but.
That's true.
Okay, Senator, let's agree you and I will connect offline and we'll see if we can set that up.
All right.
You got it? Great. Thank you for that. Thanks for that suggestion. I did want to just say that notwithstanding this meeting that Senator Cassano and I were and the group we were discussing, but the regular meeting of the subcommittee would be, if I'm not mistaken, I'm looking at my calendar, I believe it's would otherwise be September 21st, and I think what we had talked about as a next subject matter for the bulk of the study was the question of education and what that means in terms of what home rule impact, how home rule impacts local education. And that plus, I know one of the other topics that we're talking about, of course, is zoning and land use issues. So Lon is our resident, I know we have other folks from the education side, but I don't know if perhaps we can also talk about scheduling a couple of folks who might be able to offer their insights as to what those limitations are on and what happens in practical reality with boards of education in dealing with constituents and parents in terms of explaining what the limitations of home rule are. I don't know if you'd be willing to have a conversation about that with me offline as we set that up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think actually be some great opportunities to get board members. We have a pretty active board chairs group. It's a listserv on CABE. And I think there would be a good number of board members would be interested in maybe sharing those things in person or just in a meeting at least.
Great.
Because it is therapeutic to sometimes have especially these days. That would be something I'm definitely be willing
to help. Yeah. And just a quick question on that. Are you finding that I know that there was a lot of discussion this summer over the issue of here and those kinds of canards actually, but is that in the context that you're referring, or are there other aspects too?
Yeah, I think you broke up for a minute, but I'm assuming you were talking about some of the COVID response issues.
That plus the race theory discussions.
Yeah. There's that. And then also, there's other just general educational items that different school districts have. You know, one of my, and I'm like a broken record on this, but I think there's a lot of issues related to how we look at regionalism and some of the statutory impediments for districts to cooperate with each other, I think has created some real roadblocks. And there's a local control issue related to that, because currently the law kind of mandates that you're in these little buckets and you can't really do things together unless you go through a certain process. There's a lot of that, I think, just in general terms. One other thing, I was just appointed on to a group that's looking at remote learning. And I think that's a tremendous opportunity, especially for high school students, for there to be some cross district cooperation, especially for courses that are very specific in, you know, certain academic areas. So I think there's a lot more to just the current topics at hand that I think would be really beneficial.
Great. Okay. Well, I'll reach out to you next week, and maybe we can begin setting up an agenda for that meeting, if that makes
sure.
sense.
Sure. And you know, there is a good amount of local control that we have as local districts. And, you know, I think that it'd be good to kind of put that into context.
Great. And of course, any other ACIR members who are interested in participating in that, at least setting up that meeting, feel free to reach out to Bruce or to me or to Lyle just to give us a heads up. We're happy to include you in a conversation to set up that meeting. All right. Thank you all. That was Jim. Thank you for your thoughts, because I've been thinking about it since our last subcommittee meeting, kind of processing your perspective on that. And I think it was really helpful. You gave us some helpful direction going forward. So I appreciate you speaking up about that. So our next item on the agenda is old business, item six. We did have a discussion at our last meeting about the UConn and UGA policy studies, as well as the we had a discussion at our last meeting about the assumption of the sorry that I'm forgetting the name of the Connecticut Institute of Municipal and Regional Policy being assumed into UConn. So I don't know if Lyle, you have any other updates on either the studies or the sure. that assumption?
Yeah, just a quick point. We are doing a joint venture with IMRP, UConn, CROG, and CTCMA, and we're inviting, obviously, ACIR to be involved. So on September 23rd, we have it on youth auto theft and what can be done. We have more than 100 people attending this far out. So it's white hot. So the main person we're dealing with over there at IMRP is, his name is Ken Barone. And so we're planning a series of events with CTCMA, Connecticut Public Administration, and others. But the next event is on cannabis, the equity side of the distribution, and potentially the mitigation of problems with cannabis. But so far, as I said, on the it's September 23rd at noon. We have a new flyer. We can get that out to everybody. But again, it seems to be a white hot topic that is there. So we're working closely with them. I haven't been connecting too much with Professor Al-Qadri. He was driving his daughter up to the University of Toronto, so he was out of pocket for a bit. But those are the two things, the youth auto theft and then the cannabis equity issues and potentially cannabis mitigation of issues that relate to the implementation of it. So,
Great. Thank you for that update. I know that at our last meeting, we also talked about the prospect of accessing ARPA money that's coming yes. to Hartford.
Yes.
And I don't know if you have any other thoughts about that.
Well, thank you for reminding me of that. We met with the University of Connecticut yesterday on the both EDA money, which is another aspect of this in terms of securing money for research. We're going to have UConn's going to be in the CROG grant application. The way it's working is that, and speaking of, you know, timeliness, we met yesterday and it's due today for the first time with UConn. Anyway, so that'll go in the application. The way it works is that DECD is going to provide a thumbs up or down for four applications to EDA for money that includes things like research centers, which would be an expansion of the IMRP at UConn, and we can certainly let you know. But we will, I think, hear in pretty good order. The state on this Build Back Better part of EDA is not going to submit its own application. It will on the workforce side, but not on this Build Back Better. So the state has promised to give a rapid response on four. So if we get, if CROG gets a nod, to continue the application, then I would come back to ACIR and UConn and then sort it out. We have a rush of people who want to be our new best friends. We had a conversation yesterday at 5 with the New Haven Economic Development Department, with, as I say, yesterday at 4 with UConn, and we've had many other calls. But to make a long story short, there may be some federal money availability, but it will somewhat depend on what the State Department of Economic Development wants to see in these 4 grants. And there's future opportunities. So those are the 2 major strands. But I think there's, in any event, there's a lot of potential joint effort with ACIR and IMRP and UConn. Again, it would be a matter, I think, maybe of coming up with a new slate of issues. You know, the youth auto theft thing has been white hot and quite political. And the cannabis equity slash mitigation of negative effects is kind of a white hot issue. So if there are issues, I'm not sure local government, local control and government would be quite as white hot, given that it was settled law in the Supreme Court 100 years ago. But it might be a thought for the body, Mr. Chair, in my opinion, to come up with, you know, 3 to 5 issues that you can throw in the hopper. That we can proceed with. And I think those are potentially related to the CCM report. And I guess we have Mr. O'Connor on the call in terms of what that is. So I think the bottom line is there are potentially funding sources that may be useful for ACIR to come up with, just as we did before, a list of issues we'd like to suggest that UConn and IMRP work on that would be of interest to us.
Right. Right.
2 suggestions.
Yeah, great. When would you want, when would you propose that we kind of think about that or discuss that or make those recommendations? I think
that's a soon kind of topic, in my opinion. It wouldn't necessarily get done immediately, but, you know, it takes a while to align graduate students and grants and this and that and the other thing. But I think with the support of the head of the public policy program, Professor El-Khadri, and the capacity of IMRP and other resources, I think my suggestion would be to do that, you know, in the next month or 6 weeks. But even if it doesn't have to be, you know, set in concrete, but just a list of things saying, you know, of interest that we could elaborate on that we've talked about here that require more work. So that's my suggestion. And again, my other suggestion on that would be to, on a, you know, semi-annual basis, to invite Professor El-Khadri into talk to ACIR on research issues. So,
yeah, great. I know in our last meeting last month, we had spent some time, and I know Martin jumped in to give us some perspective on this, including some potential fund, a pot of money, as I recall from our minutes, that, you know, that gets to the question of if ACIR were to take on more substantive roles on certain things, we're going to need more bandwidth. You know, we're going to need more, we would need more staffing or align ourselves with another institution who could be sort of the workhorse, if you will, for some of the things that we're talking about. Is that what you're kind of going?
Yes. And given that we've lost the legislative capacity to do some of these things, from a number of years ago, I think we need more horsepower in this. Mr. Chair, John Filchak's raised his hand.
Yes, John? You're muted, John.
In the previous meeting, we talked about the fact that the governor has put together his plan for the use of the rescue plan, the ARPA money, and that the legislature would be meeting to affirm that or modify it. Apparently there probably are negotiations going on about that. And we've talked about increasing the bandwidth for ACIR on multiple occasions. And I went back and looked at our February recommendations to the legislature from 2020. One of those recommendations is to expand within OPM a government efficiency unit. And we put a dollar amount there of $2 million annually. And you know, I think that that recommendation that has gone through ACR before, which can establish a group to give us that bandwidth within OPM, which obviously we're administratively an offshoot of, would give us, and I don't think that's in contradiction to what Lyle was just talking about, but we need that resource, I think, within state government at a high level. And I think within the intergovernmental relations group is the right place, so that we can take on issues like the local government of the future. And I don't know how many people are familiar with that recommendation from last year. I can pull it up on my screen if you want to see it. Up to you.
You may want to send it out for us to send out again, because if I could just add that to the point, John, this also goes back to the governor's transition team on shared services. So we had, you know, additional capacity has been in there for a number of years. So
I think, you know, the opportunity, you know, if we, you know, since they're going to be meeting soon on this, and given the large amount of funding that the state has in the billions, and if we're looking for an ask of $2 million a year, so a $6 million or $8 million ask is, I think, reasonable.
Yep.
And would give us the ability to get a good foothold to demonstrate the value of this to the work that we're undertaking.
Yeah, agreed.
I'll make that a motion that we do something, you know, forward that through to the governor's, to the legislature and the governor to as a modification to his proposal.
My wheels are turning on that. Yeah, I think you're right, John. And then maybe this is the moment. I know, you know, Martin is been appropriately cautious in his endorsement or comments related to this. And so I won't put you on the spot, Martin, necessarily.
That's okay, Chair. I mean, I can actually tell you one item, just consideration, is that as we've been going through, you know, the plan, both, you know, for local and, you know, the state plan, we have noticed that most provisions do not allow for hiring employees unless there was a revenue loss. So, you know, to put this money in to hire new people to come in and do a new unit, if you will not be something that is allowable under the U.S. Treasury guidance. You could do consultants,
yes,
type of thing. So there may be a way of just, you know, it may have to be tweaked, if you will, of looking at consultants to come in, which then long term may be to do, you know, some of this other work. So that may be the way I, you know, may recommend to be, you know, tweaked a little bit.
I could just add to Martin's comment. I think in my conversation with Professor Alcondri, I think the idea would be to use existing UConn staff as the core and then have supplementary consultants and contractors to fill in the blanks so that you have a lot of flexibility. Because one of the things about these studies is they're all over the map. You might have 300 different topics, so you don't want to necessarily hire a labor economist unless, you know, if labor economy doesn't come up as an issue for 10 years. So the idea of a contractor consultant is not a bad thing. It's a pretty typical aspect in terms of research. So I'm just agreeing with your insight there.
I guess if I can just, I guess, somewhat disagree. In part of the previous discussion, it's my view that we need the nimbleness of what was the Program Review and Investigations Committee,
right,
that can take direction from this group. I don't think you're going to get that same type of response reaction from, no offense to UConn, from UConn or another institute of higher learning. I mean, that's just not how they're set up. And I think if we could do that administratively within OPM, and perhaps there's a bridge, as you know, similar to what Martin was just suggesting, of a consultant route, and we could get behind an allocation at some point in the future through the legislature so that it's actually funded Because to me, the PRI model is outstanding and provides options to us that I just don't think that, but whether it's UConn, Yale, et cetera, they're great places, but I don't think they offer the kind of agility that we need in the type of work we're contemplating.
Yeah, which kind of gets into the last portion of this part of our agenda, which is plans for the 2022 legislative session. Because to your point, John, you know, I think we last year we were very successful, I think, in identifying a particular legislative ask that thanks to Senator Cassano and Representative McCarthy-Vahey, as well as the governor's office and OPM, we got it done, which was the RPIP 2.0. We recognizing that we have a short session coming up. I do think it's now's the moment for us to be thinking, we as ACIR to be thinking about what if any legislative asks we want to be making in the 2022 session. Are we coming around to the notion that maybe that's our ask? You know, John's longer term staffing ask of OPM, perhaps bridged by ARPA funding in the shorter term, that can help us bridge, you know, into a more permanent OPM commitment, of staffing. I don't know. It's just a thought. Brian O'Connor, I see you have a.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just to follow up on, I think the point, you made is that if you're going to talk to OPM about funding, you need to do that now because they're doing their budget probably analysis and recommendations. I know the different agencies are working on that. So if we want to get that long-term funding through OPM, we probably have to, you know, make that ask now. And some of the other things as far as ARPA, you know, obviously we can work through, you know, legislative leaders and try to get the governor's office on board for the short term or the bridge.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cassano's put his hand up.
Yes, Senator.
Yes, a perfect follow-up because I'm thinking about the governor. You know, we've never had a sit-down with the governor on this. And we could do this. I would like to set up a meeting with him and get us on the same page. He obviously has some ideas as to what he wants done. I think he would support a lot of things we're thinking about. I think he'd probably want to know about some of that. I don't know how much time he would spend with Martin, and Martin can probably fill us in better as to his role with us and the governor. But I think it could be very productive and give us some direction. If Martin, I need your feedback on that, but what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Instead of meeting up, I recommend, obviously the governor will bring in his key staff that he needs to. You know, for that, I know, Brandon, you've met with the governor, talking about other issues, and legislative proposals. So I think, that is fine to handle that way. Probably also wind up having the secretary in on it as well, with that meeting.
But that creates a we atmosphere of all of us being on the same page.
Correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, the governor was on the IMRP board. I was on it with him. So it's not like he's foreign to these concepts. So he was at the board of the Institute when it was at CCSU. So It's not a big stretch. I think he has personal knowledge of it, which is good rather than simply relying on input from others. So
great point.
It's a lot of sense to add to the senator's suggestion.
Well, Senator, you're the person in the room here with the most juice. So I'm happy to also.
At least sports memorability. So.
I would be glad to contact him.
Great. Senator, are you glad that you joined us at this meeting now that you have all these tasks that you're walking away with?
I thrive on those things.
Are you never going to join us again?
I'll always be there.
Great. Thank you. So I'll be in touch, Steve. We can coordinate on that.
I think we have a meeting here in Manchester with a company. So I'll talk to them then Tuesday,
perfect.
I think. So
great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So are there any other thoughts on that topic?
Well, Brandon, just so you know, you have a motion on the floor. I don't know if it got seconded or not.
Thank you for that. That's true. So, John, could you just repeat your motion and see if we have a second on that? Then you need to unmute.
The motion was, and I won't really articulate this well, but to put forward the recommendation that ACIR had formally made to the legislature to fund a within the intergovernmental policy unit at OPM, a staffing to support our work.
Mostly on municipal, did you want to specify that with municipal efficiency, or did you want to?
Yeah, I'll reference that. It was priority number three within that recommendation. There's all the language that's there. And
right.
Circulate that. I can put it up on the screen if you want, but.
I'll second it.
This is Jim. I'll second that.
Okay.
I think I had a second from Brian O'Connor.
And I think Jim also.
Jim thirded it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. It's time for discussion on the motion at this point. John, did you want to add anything?
Not on this motion, but on a related matter.
Okay. Any further comment on this motion? Okay. Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed or any abstentions?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to abstain from it since I have direct involvement.
Yeah.
Appropriately so. So Martin is abstaining. Okay. Thank you for that. Thanks, John, for that thought. And we'll move forward on that. John, you had a follow-up on that?
Yeah, I just want to add one thing, because I don't want to confuse two things here, because the way the discussion was going, it was kind of mixing and matching. What I would like to see, you know, the discussion with the governor or legislative leaders or OPM is what is related exactly to that motion we just had of essentially recreating a PRI type approach within OPM. The Institute of Municipal Studies, no offense to them, has been of little value to me as a COC. And I offer the academic research and all, but I don't think they are both the same or interchangeable. They both have value, but I think for our work, there's more value in what we just were endorsing and that type of work, which is similar to the structure within Massachusetts and other states where you have the expertise to give you that that resource to assist communities, assist the state and in making things more efficient, et cetera. So I don't think they're the same. And I wouldn't want them to get confused or be in competition, which they probably will end up being. But I just wanted to put that out there. And I probably confused it more.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could just add to that.
Sure.
IMRP started out sort of like PRI with a very broad range of topics for regional and municipal policy. It then moved to CCSU and got very narrow on, you know, traffic stops by minority folks and a few other things. So I think part of the issue is, and this goes to PRI and everything else, is how the topics get selected. You know, the issue of responsiveness, which you've mentioned too, in terms of academics, but I think it's how the topics get selected is really sort of the issue. And I think that's a conversation with Professor El-Khadri. That's why I was suggesting we get our topic list into him sooner rather than later. But I don't disagree with John. Obviously, the history was exactly what he said.
Honestly, when we had the Institute for Public Service, and Margaret probably, Bruce, go back that far with me, they were very responsive to the immediate needs of towns, cities, and the state. I've been doing this 27 years, And that what's come out of CCSU, there's been some good stuff, but it's not of the same value to my my organization or my talents. So not to dismiss or denigrate it, but it's just of a different value and for what our needs are.
Understood.
Good.
I was agreeing with you.
I get that. Yeah, I
think. But I think the issue of selection of topics and issues, you know, when you get to a think tank, the real deal is two things. What do you select to study, and is the material of good quality? Those are the two things. So if you look at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, they study good topics and they do it well. You know, and that's all you, as you know, as this kind of a group, that's what you need. If you don't study things of significance, as John just indicated, or if you don't do it well, you have limited impact. So I'm agreeing.
Right.
So.
Good. Okay. All right. Thank you all for that. Let's move on to item 7 under new business. Do we have any that anyone wants to offer? I know we've got a lot of new tasks that we're assigning ourselves as a result of today's meeting. So, and then under item 8, any other municipal, regional, or state matters for ACIR consideration? I think we've covered a lot of that as well.
Yep,
Brenda. It's Jim.
Jim.
I've just been thinking about John's comments, and I want to agree with back to John's comments, but I also want to add the part that I think the approach that he's suggesting is the one that would have the greatest effect on the people whom we need to affect, mainly the legislators and the governor. I think if you get an approach from the ivory tower, so to speak, I'll use that broadly, that perhaps not as compelling as something that would come out of something that resided in OPM that had broad legislative support. So it seems like the most important, one of the very important foundations of what we want to do in the future is to have our consensus developed by people who are actually respected and listened to by those who are going to make the changes. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. You don't want analyses and studies to be sit on a shelf. You'd like to have people who are going to be a little more hands-on and also have the backing of the legislative and executive branch leaders. So yeah, that makes sense. I agree.
Yeah, I think in the way back past when there was staff at OPM, that was the case, that issues and presentations that were developed had a reach into the various decision makers, as opposed to just being something that was out there and nobody ever looked at.
Agreed. Yep, agreed.
Thank you.
Sure, thank you. Thank you. Are there any other comments from members or members of the public who are listening in? If so, if you could raise your hand and be identified. The raise hand function is the one that I can see the best. All right. And if not, then we'll just move to when our upcoming meetings will be. As is indicated on our agenda, the study group on the municipal meeting format that's required of Public Act 2102, we have not scheduled that meeting as yet, so we'll get that out to folks. It's, as I said, we were going to be trying to arrange around the committee chair's schedules as well as members of the governor's office. Kind of coming back around to that group that we just talked about. So we'll let folks know when that meeting gets scheduled. Bruce, I noticed that the subcommittee meeting for the LGF, you identified on our agenda as September 28th. Is it the third or the fourth Tuesday?
The fourth Tuesday.
Fourth Tuesday.
I knew we would get to this point, so I didn't step in earlier, but it is the fourth Tuesday. Yeah.
Thank you. I said the 21st and I was mistaken. It is the 28th on Tuesday. So Lon, we have an extra week to talk about our education panel. And then our next full ACIR meeting will be Friday, October 1st. Same bat time, same bat channel, 10:30 a.m. If there are not any other conversation topics, we had a pretty full agenda today. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Motion to adjourn, Lyle Ray.
Second.
Second from Senator Cassano. All those in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions? Okay. Well, thank you everyone for the participation and the great discussion today. We've got a lot of work ahead of us as always. And in the meantime, have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather.
Thank you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.